This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again. It's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, Play Tessie is back. We're all here in Boston. We're all here. Episode 304. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It feels good to actually be able to like use my real voice again. Oh my God, I feel like I haven't used my full lung capacity to speak on this show in forever. Duh, it's good to be back in the studio. My God.
It's good to hear you. I am going to miss the bathtub, the waterless bathtub that you were in and watching the sun rise behind you on a beautiful morning in South Africa. Just look beautiful. But I prefer the loud, powerful, scary Gordo even. So welcome back. Welcome back to the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm truly going to miss the ASMR Gordo. Just you talking like it's NPR. There was something about it that made it, it was not better. That's not the word, but something about it that made it truly a different
kind of fit the type. Off-season a little bit. It was quiet and sleepy, just like most of this off-season's been.
A different type of enjoyable, if you will.
Ooh. I got a couple of compliments on it and I refused to accept them. I honestly did not see them as genuine. I do not think, like, if you complimented me on that, I do not believe you. And I think you're being disingenuous.
Well, you didn't know what ASMR was and how popular that whole thing is. So yeah, I think you'd be surprised.
Remember on radio when Kylie came on and Bradfo was having her read off the page for, what was it? Was it for trending? And was that ASMR? Yeah.
No, that was just kind of what you were doing, the quiet voice. It wasn't quite ASMR.
I'm not meant to do the quiet voice. I'm not built for that. It did fit the time frame though. Like the timeline between Christmas and New Year's Day, that week in Major League Baseball in the off season, it's always the quietest and it's so frustrating because there's always still free agents available. And you're like, oh well, I'm still paying attention to the news, so I'm sure the teams are still doing stuff. And it's like actually half the GMs are on vacations, like half of those GMs are out of the country. They're all with their families. None of them are doing anything. But yeah, sometimes, lucky for you, you wake up on Monday morning, and now we're actually back, and like things can happen again.
Sometimes I wish I could fast forward that part of the off season, though. I do love, you know, the family time's great and everything, but the no moves is, it's painful. And I hate when you don't even feel like you should check in to see if there might be moves. Like it felt like early November. Like, don't even bother checking. There's going to be nothing.
Oh yeah. I know, like exactly that time. You know what we need more of? We need more of the, and I understand why it doesn't exist. And we've had this conversation a million times. All baseball fans have had the conversation of how to spice up the off season, but like, having the Japanese players come over with deadlines on when they have to sign by absolutely rocks. Like, you want to take a vacation? Well, guess what? You're not going to sign Okamoto. Guess what? You're not going to sign Imai. Like, Murakami had to sign before Christmas. Like, mm-hmm. those, like, that was awesome. What was Okamoto's? Was he signed on the 3rd? And did Imai sign on New Year's Day? Or is it the 2nd?
I think it was the 2nd. Might have been New Year's Day, actually.
It was New Year's Day. They kept signing the day before their deadline
because they have to take the physical, too.
Yeah, my mistake. I think it was. Yeah, because that makes sense. That would line up.
That's great.
Yeah, maybe
if Major League Baseball
could, like, if they could find a way to tier the free agents, like if you're in tier one, you have to sign by X date, tier two, this date, tier three, something like that. But then how do you do that? How do you divide guys like that? Regardless, I like the idea of having a signing deadline. It makes it so you know what you're checking for. It's not just like, did anything happen? You're like, is it my signing? It has to happen soon.
And it's like the players union will never let it happen because they'll say that adding any sort of restriction will restrict their earning potential. I get it. But like, is it really going to cost you that much money if you have to sign by like January 15th? You have three months to sign a contract. Like, give me a break.
Well, it cost all the guys from NFBB money.
That's true. No, those guys didn't get paid. It's true.
Might be unrelated. Might not be.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm very curious to see how some of these guys do because I feel like all offseason long, because don't get me wrong, the guys who have come over recently have been awesome. And we just saw two of them dominate their way to the World Series with the Dodgers. Like, people see what Yamamoto did and it's like, oh, like in my throws high 90s, like, oh my God, like, could he be another Yamamoto? And it's like, let's pump the brakes. Like, oh, Okamoto and Merck, like, we don't know what any of these guys are, which is part of the reason why I was thrilled that Okamoto did not sign with the Red Sox, because I wanted to see certainty at the plate. But we should talk about that because he signed with the Blue Jays, and I kind of threw a half little party on Twitter, and allow me to defend it, and you guys can come at me if you disagree with any of it. I was happy he signed with the Blue Jays, A, because he's going to play third base, and it's very likely that it's going to take them out on Alex Bregman. B, it's likely that it's going to take them out on at least one of Bo Bichette and Kyle Tucker. Like, they'll still get one of those guys, I think. They're not going to get two. There's already a lot of mouths to feed in Toronto. And three, I didn't think Okamoto was a suitable replacement for Alex Bregman, and I would have been upset if the Red Sox signed him and tried to tell me that he was. So now I'm a little bit less afraid of the Blue Jays in terms of signing free agents that I want the Red Sox to get, and B, one option that I thought maybe the Red Sox could try to sell us is now off the board, and hopefully it just pushes them closer and closer into the direction of Alex Bregman and Bo Bichette. Is anything I said wrong there?
No. I agree with everything you said. I kind of sort of came at it from a similar perspective in that from the Bregman side, you feel a little bit better about him coming to the Red Sox. Didn't think the Blue Jays were an imminent threat, but it felt like if Bichette or Tucker went off the board, I would have started sweating, thinking the Blue Jays would, you know, attack and get Alex Bregman with a beautiful offer and a strong major league team that just won the American League. How could you refuse? But now we don't have to worry about that. On the other side, I feel pretty good about Okamoto transitioning to the big leagues. He fits that Blue Jays lineup like a glove. It's unbelievable. Another guy who just doesn't strike out, makes hard contact, plays good defense. He's going to be a nightmare, and he's going to hit like, what, sixth or seventh for them? He's not going to be middle of the order. I think this is the perfect situation for a guy like Okamoto. I actually lean more towards this is a negative for the Red Sox, and it has nothing to do with me feeling fine with Okamoto as an option for Boston, but it's more so I think the Blue Jays just got better, and I think Okamoto is going to be a good big leaguer. So two ways to look at it, one positive, one negative. I lean more towards the negative. Either way, was not expecting the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Sorry. I think from the Bregman or Bichette to Boston angle, you have to feel pretty good. I'm not ruling out Toronto bringing Bichette back. I would rule them out bringing Bregman in. At this point, I don't think it makes sense. But bringing Bichette back, it's got to be pretty 50-50. I think they're more likely for Tucker. So for one of those guys to come to the Sox, you got to feel pretty good. from a competition standpoint, you can't feel great because, like Sammy said, the Blue Jays objectively got better. And this is a guy who fits the Blue Jays hitting philosophy to a T. He is a contact hitter. He does not strike out. He is from, again, we have not seen this guy play, but from reports, he is the most, one of the more versatile free agents that was available. He can play both corners. He can play both corner outfield spots. He screams Blue Jays from a philosophy standpoint, offensively, defensively, approach, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's another huge domino to fall in Toronto, which sucks because, I mean, it's Toronto. You're trying to win the division. But selfishly, take that away from the Sox perspective, you probably feel a little bit better about one of Bichette or Bregman coming to Boston.
So I see what you guys are saying in terms of, oh, well, a division rival got quote unquote better. And the reason I say quote unquote is because they lost Bo Bichette. So right now they are down Bo Bichette and they are up Kazuma Okamoto. So to me, that's a net negative right there. Like you cannot make the argument that he is a better player than Bo Bichette, especially when we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Granted, they will end up with one of Kyle Tucker and Bo Bichette. So eventually they will get there. But when you're in the mindset that I was in, which was, I think they're getting both Tucker and Bichette, and now it's going to be one of those guys in Okamoto, that's a tier below where I thought they were going to go. So that's why I'm seeing this as a positive. Like, I was looking at their lineup, what it was as if it was going to have both of those studs in it next season. Okamoto in place of one of those guys, in my mind, that's a downgraded lineup.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I have a good feeling, or had a good feeling, that the Blue Jays would end up with one of Bichette and Tucker, possibly both, but I don't want to give them credit that's not the right way to say it, already view them as a team that was going to get those guys. Like, I recognize that there's a good chance, but still, Okamoto, well, the question I was going to ask you guys, what do you think he's going to be? Because this will determine a lot of how we feel about him going to a division opponent. Because if you think he's going to hit 15 home runs and have a low 700s OPS, who cares? But if you think he's going to be an 800 OPS, 25 home run kind of guy who's picking it at first and third, wherever he's playing, big difference.
I just think it's impossible for us, people who've never actually watched him outside of highlights, to say what he is. You can read the scouting reports, which is what I've done, and I lean on what they say, which is you can expect 20-ish home runs and you can expect a 270-ish batting average, and he's not going to strike out a ton, and he'll play an average to slightly above average third base. Like, that's a fine, okay player. I'm not losing sleep over the Red Sox not getting him. I'm not losing sleep over the Blue Jays getting him. And I'm certainly not losing sleep over the Blue Jays getting him instead of what I thought they were getting.
I don't necessarily agree with Gordo. I don't think he's going to be a superstar by any means. But I do see him as an 800 to 820 OPS guy, 20-ish home runs. But I think he'll be average to above average at both corner infield spots, both corner outfield spots. And in a vacuum, sure, Okamoto alone, Blue Jays got better, not losing sleep. They are, I would put it at 98%. They get one of Bichette, Bregman, or Tucker. Once you add one of those three with Okamoto, with Cease, with Rogers, with Ponce, I mean, I am going to lose sleep over that.
820 OPS, excuse me, would be roughly equivalent to what Jorge Polanco posted in Seattle last year.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big addition.
And he's a guy
he's not going to do that, though.
But
it's
profile,
like thinking, though.
Dude, but profile-wise, he's the opposite of Polanco. He walks and he does not strike out.
Okay, Bregman then, because Bregman had an 821 OPS.
Right, Still. But that just shows how good you have to be to have... Like, I feel like we see some of these superstar players like Otani and Judge post these 1,000 OPS seasons, and like then we think, oh, okay, so that means like good players have high 800s and low 900s. Actually, no, it's not like that, though. Like, the really good players have 800. Like, if you have an 800 OPS, you're really, really, really good. It's hard to have an 800 OPS in this league. Guys hit 30-plus home runs. Like, what did Torkelson have for an OPS last year. Didn't he hit 30 home runs?
I think he was like 9 or 797. He was right below 800 and 31 home runs.
Like that's 800.
Yeah, but that's why I asked Gordo. That's why I asked Pat, what do you think he's going to be? Is he going to have 25 home runs and an 800 OPS? If he's an 820 OPS guy, that's kind of what you expect Bo Bichette to do, right?
If he's an 820 OPS guy, that contract is a steal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Sammy, you're muted.
Sorry, new mic. We're working on it. No, if that's an 820 OPS, that's an incredible deal for Toronto. That's like the best contract of the offseason level deal. I'm looking right now, Bo Bichette, he averages 806 OPS. So there you go. That's the guy we're talking about being a better option than Okamoto. And I think we all agree we're comfortable with that evaluation. But even he doesn't average an 820 OPS. So that's why I think depending on what you believe Okamoto is going to be, there's a wide array of how you can feel about this from the Red Sox perspective.
Of course, yeah. But that's the thing is like none of us have seen this guy play and no one has seen him play in Major League Baseball. No one on planet Earth has seen him face this caliber of pitching for a full season. So we can guess around as to what he's going to do. But the truth of the matter is you have some guys like Imanaga came over and no one was super excited about him and he crushed it his first year. And then meanwhile, we watched Masataka Yoshida hit the cover off the ball in the World Baseball Classic. We thought the Red Sox were getting a superstar and we've been trying to mock trade that guy out of town for years now. So the truth is we just don't know what you're going to get. And maybe for a team like the Blue Jays that has established dudes in the middle of that lineup, like Vlad and Springer that are your core dudes, you can take a chance on a guy like Okamoto and, you know, if he's not awesome, you're okay. Because as you said, Sammy, he's not hitting 3, 4, 5. He's hitting probably 6 or 7. For the Red Sox, the guys that they got this offseason for the corner infield spots or DH, however it shook out, like those guys were going to be your middle of the order bats, which is why I wasn't super into the idea of bringing a guy who we've never seen play at the major league level and the scouting reports have him as a 25 homer ceiling. Like, I was just wasn't a fan of that idea.
Who do you guys think is going to be better in 2026, Okamoto or Wilson Contreras?
Contreras.
Ooh, Pat's thinking of Pat's high on Okamoto.
No, I it's going to be Contreras. But would I rather have Okamoto for 4 years or Contreras for two? What'd you say?
Like, you got to factor in the trade. Yeah. Like, you lost Dobbins, Fajardo. Like, that factors
that's
in.
That's why I'm on the fence. I think I still lean Contreras. But, no, I mean, I do think Okamoto was not – this isn't like last year when the Dodgers added, like, Hyesung Kim. Hyesung Kim was, like, always, like, a good-ish player. To me, Okamoto was better than that. Okamoto was good to very good, which, again, is, like, to me, that, like, 800-ish to 820-ish OPS. But, again, like, you always pay for certainty. Whether it was a trade, it wasn't free agency, but I will always prefer – certainty. So I'm going to lean Contreras for the next year or two.
Kind of a cop-out, but I think both players fit the team that they went to better. Like, the Red Sox need certainty because they lack offense in a big way. Toronto can kind of roll the dice on upside with a guy who, like we've mostly agreed on, is going to hit sixth or seventh in that lineup. So kind of a cop-out, but that's how I feel.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with that, Sammy. And with the Blue Jays, they just... It's weird. It feels like they've done so much, but like they actually kind of haven't. I don't know. I was trying to compare what they've done to what the Red Sox have done and trying to compare, including some of the guys that have left or are still free agents. And you look at it, like the Blue Jays, they added Cease, they added Okamoto, they added Tyler Rogers, they added Ponce, they kept Shane Bieber. But they've subtracted Bo Bichette. They've subtracted Chris Bassett. You look at the Red Sox, they've added Sonny Gray. They've added Wilson Contreras. They've added Johan Oviedo. They've subtracted all the young guys in the trades, but they've lost Alex Bregman, at least for now, Lucas Giolito, Rob Refsnyder, the lefty relievers. Are these off seasons at this point that far apart?
Technically, no, but... Like we spoke about earlier in the show.
About where they're going to go. Yes.
Right. We all kind of feel like there's a... What percentage chance? I put it at 75% chance that that the Blue Jays get one of Bichette or Tucker. And I wouldn't even put it at a 0% chance that they don't get both. They've been going crazy with the spending. I think it's incredibly unlikely they get both. I just wouldn't say it's zero.
I think move for move, they're similar. I think the Blue Jays still have made better moves, but I think move for move, they're... similar. The biggest distinction is the Blue Jays had a better roster and then made all these moves.
Yes.
That's the biggest difference here, is that the Jays were an incredible team and made these really good moves. The Sox had a good team and made good moves. So the better team got better. The good team got gooder. That's the biggest thing here.
Good team got gooder. I like that, Pat.
The good team got gooder.
It's also, you get the narrative, and I call it a narrative, even though it is the truth, that the Red Sox have not spent a single dollar on a major league free agent. So that will be floating around, and it's gonna drive a narrative on what the offseason has been. But yeah, I mean, if you look at these offseasons, and let's say the Blue Jays add Kyle Tucker and the Red Sox add Alex Bregman, the Blue Jays had the better offseason. They added more and they started from a higher place. But the Red Sox, like, I don't know. It's tough because, like, I still don't – like, the offseason would still be below – like, a good amount below what I was hoping for. If it's you add Bregman, you add a lefty reliever, and that's it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for me not to be a little disappointed in the offseason overall. Well, we are not factoring in the possibility of a Duran trade because that could still happen. You never know if they get someone like Reagan's we've been talking about out nauseam. Yeah. Ad nauseum. I said at nauseum. Ugh. That changes everything, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think you might have nailed it last episode, Gordo. It's going to be for a Dalton Rushing type kind of guy. People are going to hate it, but that's, you kind of convinced me. But either way, it's going to be a little bit disappointing in the end. Similar question for you guys. Who do you think is going to be better in 2026? Dylan Cease or Sonny Gray?
Dylan Cease.
just 26. I know the contract thing is not comparable.
Yeah, I still think Aileen sees his metrics aren't great that last year. But I mean, his strikeout stuff still plays, as does Sonny Gray's. I'm not, this isn't a discrediting to Sonny Gray, but I just think age taken into account, setting, all that stuff, I think Cease is better than Sonny Gray next year.
Yeah, I'll go Cease as well.
Yeah, we're gonna have to hope that somehow they don't fix whatever the hell happened with Dylan Cease last year, because he was striking everyone out, but it didn't matter.
Hey, and they have Bieber too. Imagine if he bounces back. Imagine you get a bounce back from Cease and a bounce back from Bieber. Then you got your Savage year too. You have Gausman still.
Berrios is their five. That's disgusting.
Maybe if he makes the rotation.
Pots, dude. They just gave him 3 years. Like they have a lot. They're going to be a tough team. This is why the expectation and the hope, at least from this podcast, for the Red Sox was like, okay, like they're going to need to go big to compete with the Blue Jays, who are just an inch away from winning the World Series and are sure as shit going to add a hell of a lot more to their team. And they look like they're doing as such. But like, that's why the expectation and the hope was like Alonso, Marte or Bregman, and trade for like Joe Ryan or one of these number two starters, Freddie Peralta, Cole Reagans, like one of these guys. I mean, it doesn't mean they can't be a good team if they do all these, like you don't have to win the division necessarily to win the World Series, but like this is what they've been talking about. This is what Sam Kennedy's been talking about. We want to win the division. They said it last year. They said it again this year.
It's going to be one of those teams where somebody's going to have to step up big time in the rotation, especially for this team to go anywhere. Because obviously we love Crochet. Sonny Gray, you feel good about, maybe not as a number two starter, but you feel good about him in a vacuum. And then it's going to be someone like Johan Oviedo, someone like Connolly Early, Peyton Tolley. Somebody's got to step up and be that next guy, because we talked about the trade deadline a million times. Craig Breslow, for all the good things he's done in the offseason, deadline 0-2, both disasters. So the way I'm looking at the Red Sox is you got what you got until proven otherwise. And right now, it's hard to look at teams like Toronto and think, yeah, Sox can take them. Sox got this. And even if you add Bregman, you're kind of like, maybe they can beat a team like Toronto, but you don't feel good about it. You're not going to pick the Red Sox to beat them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, it really all does start with bringing back Alex Bregman or bringing in Bo Bichette. Like, that's how you put yourself in a position where you even have a chance, right? Because, like, I think this team, even if they don't bring in either of them, could fight for a playoff spot if you bring one of those guys in. And I think they will, but like, I can't give them, like I give the Blue Jays, like I put one of Kyle Tucker and Bo Bichette on their roster already. Just do it, because they've earned the right to be seen in that light. The Red Sox have not earned that right, even if I think they're going to do this. But it really all does start there. Cause like, if you do that, you trade Duran or one of the outfielders for a prospect package, you at least put yourself in a position where midseason, the Twins are obviously at some point in time going to change their minds and be more willing to trade Joe Ryan. They're not going to go into an offseason with a lockout where they then have to trade Joe Ryan as a rental. Like, they will at some point in time be open to doing it. And you need to, at least if you can't get him now, you need to set yourself up to be able to get him at the deadline. And you need to set yourself up to be competitive to get to that point, which means you have to get Alex Bregman or Bo Bichette on this team now.
Yeah, I mean, you hope the Twins do that. That's the logical thing. We've been speaking about them moving Joe Ryan for a while, but who's to say they don't start hot in 2026, talk themselves into, maybe we could sneak into the playoffs. They are in the AL Central. It's not the scariest division in the world. Like, I just don't think, I think you're right, Gordo. Everything you're saying is right. I just don't think it's a good plan. It's not the plan that a team like the Boston Red Sox should ever be going with. Flex your financial might, as Bradfo says, and they don't. And that's why we have to have these conversations in January. We're just ready for the impending, this is a good team, not a great team kind of conversation. And it's so frustrating. It could so easily be different. It still can be. We're not out of time yet. You just, like you said, like we all agree, it feels like the Blue Jays are going to land one of those big ticket free agents. And you think the Red Sox are going to land Bregman, but you can't give them the same credit that you give the Blue Jays, because one team has shown a willingness to spend over the top and the other just hasn't. Clear as day.
So do you guys So we had a couple of Bregman reports. We had a few actually since our last recording, because we had the Feinsand thing, who said that the Jays and the D-backs were the two aggressors on Bregman, and then the Jays signed Okamoto since then. And we had Buster, who said the Red Sox have made an aggressive offer. Quote was, "I think Alex Bregman is going to go back to the Red Sox. From what I understand, the Red Sox have made an aggressive offer on him." Do you guys buy into that? Do you guys think an aggressive offer was made? Pat, you say no. Pat, you're muted.
How incredibly awkward. No, I don't. Because I feel like if the Sox made an aggressive offer, Alex Bregman would be a Red Sox right now. He's not. That's what it comes down to. Simply. Because I think he wants to be here. I think if it were an aggressive offer, it would be enough to keep him here. So if that, to me, if that were true, he'd be here, and he's not here. So to me, I don't even know if they made him an offer based on that report. I truly don't. Because, and this isn't discrediting Buster Olney, but anything that is not, basically anything that is not Jeff Passan, I do not wholeheartedly believe. So for me, no, I do not believe that, because I think if that were true, he would be here. Signed, done deal.
Sammy, do you think they've made that offer?
I think the Red Sox have made an offer to Alex Bregman. My question is, quote unquote, aggressive according to who? Because if it's aggressive according to the Red Sox, you never know what right. That could mean. That could be a lowball offer that they deem aggressive by whatever metric they're going off of. If it's deemed aggressive by Scott Boras, that's another one you're kind of like, not really sure. That could be leverage. You never really know what the truth is with Scott Boras. Yeah, it really depends. Either way, I'm not... It's hard to feel like they actually made an aggressive offer is what I'm trying to say. Like, there is a world where they did. It's just every way you spin it, there's a seed of doubt in the back of my mind, and that's something that the Red Sox have earned over the last few years with the way they've operated. So, yes, I do think they made an offer, but the aggressive part, aggressive according to who?
You guys kind of combined to make the point that I was thinking of, which is, I need to know like what side that report comes from, because aggressive according to who, but also if the Red Sox made an offer that met Bregman's price, if they were that aggressive, he would be here. So why if they have made that offer, why is he not here? Is the report not true? Is it that Alex Bregman wants the highest bid from wherever, and so he's going to use the Red Sox offer to leverage other teams to increase their offers and then potentially go there? Is he trying to do that to then squeeze just a little bit more out of the Red Sox? That would feel like a weird way to go. Like, if his priority was getting a fair deal and getting back to Boston on a fair deal, you would think that if they made a quote-unquote aggressive offer, then you're right. What Pat said, he would be back by now. So, you have to ask yourself why. I think they made a reasonable offer, but I go back to what Sammy said. I bet that the aggressive part of that is coming from the Red Sox. I think they think that they've made a really good offer. But if he has a higher offer on the table from, let's say, the Diamondbacks, even if his priority is coming back to Boston, you're not just going to sign that thing right away. You're going to continue leveraging these things to get even more, because you can. If you have more on the table, you can get more from the Red Sox.
The only part of that I don't fully agree with is to say that Alex Bregman would already be here if the Red Sox made an aggressive offer. Because this is probably his last big free agency deal. And I could totally see Scott Boras looking at an offer. Let's say it's like 5 years, $140 million. Something very good. Very good. Nothing insane, but very good. Solid offer for Bregman. I could see Boras saying, hey, let's wait a day or two. Maybe Arizona comes out of nowhere. Or maybe the Cubs come out of nowhere. Maybe one of these, a mystery team we keep hearing about with every free agent. Maybe they come out of nowhere. So I don't necessarily think that's the case, that he would be here already. So I do think there's a chance they've already made the aggressive offer. I just, aggressive according to who?
Well, that's also what I was saying, is maybe his priorities are different than they were a year ago, because a year ago it felt like he was prioritizing getting into the right spot. But if the Red Sox have made an aggressive offer and he hasn't signed back up yet, you have to ask yourself why. And maybe one of the reasons is he is just trying to seek the highest possible offer.
Yeah, he's a Boras guy. Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I mean, This it is a guy who it's not like a lot of other free agents in the sense where you're looking for money, fit, and a ring. This is a guy who's been there, done that. Like, he has his rings, he has his all-star appearances, he has his gold gloves, silver sluggers. He has everything he needs.
He has his that money, too.
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of getting at. But this is also a guy who has admitted to giving a fuck about his legacy. And it's, I mean, let's say the Rockies come in at 5 for $160. He's not taking it. It could be the best deal on the table. He's not taking it. So once you factor in landing spot, price, legacy, like everything factored in, again, it's circling back. I think if the Sox made a quote-unquote aggressive offer, according to all parties, he would be here. But you have to know, from which side is it aggressive? Was it really aggressive, or is this just a leveraging point? We don't know. That's the thing.
I think the only way I would think the offer is actually aggressive is if it came from maybe Bregman's side. But then again, that could also be...
You can't know it either way. You're right.
Right. I'm trying to think because we keep saying aggressive according to who. I was the first to say it, but now the more I think about it, I'm like, wait.
It could be bullshit either way. Yeah. It could be Boris trying to leverage other teams to up their offers. It could be the Red Sox trying... just straight up thinking they made a really good offer, but actually it's 3 years, $80 million. And
Who do you believe more? If you had to pick one, I might actually pick the Red Sox over Scott Boras.
I think I would pick Scott Boras because I still think that Bregman wants to be in Boston. So saying the Red Sox made an aggressive offer, like you're not going to get the Red Sox to up your offer if you're leaking. You're not going to get the Red Sox to pay more if you're leaking that they made an aggressive offer.
Right. Right.
So the caveat to it, which is the route I'm going to go, is I agree. I think I would take the Red Sox. I just don't think it's actually aggressive.
They mean it. Yeah, they're genuine.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
I think they're being genuine. I don't think they're lying.
Yeah, I think they think it's incredibly aggressive. Meanwhile, yeah. It's like 3 for $90 with a vesting option. Like, that's what I think.
They're like, listen, guys, this guy is 32. He's hurt all the time. Like, we're offering him over $100 million. What do you want from us?
We offer 3 years, vesting option at 28. It brings it to 4 for $118 if he plays his cards right. Like, that's how I read that. I don't think that's aggressive at all, but I think they think it is.
Yeah.
Well, this is what the math and the science and all the Breslow nerds all think about. Look at the metrics and all that stuff. 3 years, 90, we get that to 100 based on incentives.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When Pete Alonso comes to Fenway and he hits that home run way deep onto the highway, I'll be looking up at it going like, oh, this didn't line up. Oh, boy. If only this lined up with their spreadsheet.
All the models to a T. You're never gonna get a big time free agent.
What's the model's record in free agency acquisition? Has the model ever acquired a free agent?
The model can yes, get the radar model, guys.
The Ooh. Model actually got Corey Kluber.
oh yay! Multiple times Cy Young Award winner. Can't argue that.
Listen, to give the model credit, the model got Justin Wilson. That was pretty good.
The model should
try getting Justin Wilson.
Well, the model got just Walker Buehler, Gordo. So fuck off.
The model is not batting 1,000. I agree.
Is the model Craig Breslow or is it the Red Sox front office?
It's like a combination. Ownership. It's a combination of their contribution.
Dude, this is a
keep it vague.
I hate the model so much.
This is a reference that I would. Borderline bet my bottom dollar will go over your heads. Have either of you seen all of the Mission Impossible movies?
I've seen none of the Mission Impossible movies.
Joe?
I've seen one. Joe says no.
Joe says no. Okay. All right. So, this is like...
Listeners, you can say it, Pat. Listeners,
yeah, no, I'm going to. It. I'm going to. This will be just like Sisyphus. The Craig Breslow / Red Sox front office model is the entity. The entity fucking sucks. So to me, it's like, yeah, like you could use any model. Like you're bound to strike gold at some point. You could sign pitchers based off of shoe size compared to height, and you're like, stud.
The broken second clock.
Yes, exactly. The second they get one or two, you're like, this model might not be half bad. But then you say, I know Kluber obviously wasn't Breslow, but Kluber and Walker Buehler and Paxton, like, it's just sometimes the right move isn't necessarily the mathematically correct move. And that's what drives me insane with this front office.
What was that? It was like Occam something.
Occam's razor.
Occam's razor.
Occam's razor, where it's like the simplest thing is usually the best. That's what bringing Alex Bregman back is Occam's razor right there.
But how come they didn't Occam's razor first base? They didn't Occam's razor the rotation?
They never Occam's razor. They never do.
You know who Occam's razors is the most? Who's got the most Occam's razors? Is the Dodgers. They're full of razors, Dodgers. And they just slash everyone with their Occam's razor, and they win.
The Dodgers have so many razors. Oh, my God. That's why Shohei Ohtani's never grown facial hair. They just have all the razors.
Nobody on that team has body hair. They're sleek. They're like a bunch of seals. They slide through the clubhouse because of Occam's razor. Simple.
All right. Sammy, I have a question for you.
Yep.
If Alex Bregman had 5 years, $160 million on the table from the Red Sox, would he have accepted it by now?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Maybe. No. Because Scott Boris would say, let's tell Toronto that you have $5,160 on the table and see what they say. Let's tell whoever, the Cubs.
So are you saying there's a chance that Marino Pepin is right?
Like I just said to Pat, a broken clock is right twice a day. There's always a chance.
Who?
That's the right answer, Pat. There you go. Yeah, don't believe anything that guy says. He's not a reporter.
I don't know who you're talking about, but all right.
I hope he comes after. I like hid something in Justin because I just like I can't tweet. If I tweet about him, he sees it. So I had to leave it in the comments.
I don't know why he keeps doing it. Like, give it up.
Who has he said is basically a done deal?
He said that Xander back to the Red Sox was a done deal every day for Xander, over a week.
Bregman, Juan Soto.
He had Yamamoto. He had Red Sox offering Yamamoto over $300 million before offers were even allowed to come in.
Yep.
That was the crazy one. Because, like, you could say, oh, he got bamboozled by Xander. A lot of people got bamboozled by the Xander thing. He had the Red Sox offering Yamamoto over $300 million. And then 3 days later, Jeff Passan wrote an article about how Yamamoto's agents had told teams to not make offers to that point because he's just trying to get to know teams. This guy just says shit. And I was proud of I saw his tweet about 30-ish minutes after he tweeted it, and it had barely any engagement. I was like, wow, like, this is great. Like, Red Sox fans are learning. I love it. Like, we've been conditioned. And then I checked back like a couple hours later, and it had a bunch of likes and comments. I was like, oh, God damn it.
Mute button, my friend.
I think the world should mute him.
I've just been on social media less. It's good for my brain.
Oh, I was on social media so much less. Because like I was 7 hours ahead. So when I woke up and we had some pretty early, like what, 9 o'clock Eastern is 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 p.m. my time was about when this world woke up. So I'd basically have like a whole day and nothing would happen.
I mean, nothing happens at all.
That's true. But like when I say nothing would happen, I'm talking about like I'm not getting a text from a friend. Like if I refresh Twitter, there's not even like cheeky tweets or whatever. Like I'm not even just necessary for news. Like there's no tweets.
What you the say fuck cheeky do you now? Mean cheeky tweets?
Cheeky, dude. That's so cool. Cool.
What
cool
is term a cheeky tweet?
No, like a joke. Like, ha ha, cheeky.
Mate, makes me think of like an Australian guy talking like, oh yeah, mate, it's a cheeky joke, cheeky tweet you got there, man.
Cheeky blinders.
Oh my god.
I've not seen Peaky Blinders. What's that show about?
British guys.
Oh, I don't think I'd like it.
Ooh, that's
I'm loving sleep deprived Gordo. I feel like you're just floating through the latter half of this episode. Joe's loudly telling us to move on. This is great. This is
buddy,
a classic.
I am so jet lagged. It was a 16 and a half hour flight, and then a 2 hour layover, and then a 2.5 hour flight. And I got here at noon. I got about 7 combined hours of like half airplane sleep. There was no night sleep. Like
sleep. You didn't get in your REM cycle.
Mm-mm, none of that.
No dreaming. No dreaming about dung beetles playing baseball.
Oh, I have not yet had a dream about a dung beetle. I'm very excited for when that happens. Maybe I'll have a dream that I am a dung beetle. Shout out to all the people. That AMA helped that helped me kill like 3 hours on that plane. That was wonderful. I tweeted out, let's do an AMA, and I got a few questions. I answered one, and then my Wi-Fi went out for like 15 minutes, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I did this AMA, I'm going to answer one question, and now that Wi-Fi is going to be out the entire flight. But then it helped me kill 3 hours. And you asked me something about, being reincarnated as a dung beetle.
Yeah.
For which I would be very lucky.
Yeah, you'd be rolling in the dough, rolling in the dung.
I'd be pushing the dung. It's interesting. There's like two beetles. One pushes the dung. The other one attaches itself to the dung and just rolls around.
If baseball wasn't a thing, would you be a beetle guy? A bug guy, maybe?
Well, I don't know because I learned about the dung beetle so late in the game. You know, like I formed my passions by now. I didn't learn about the dung beetle till I was 29.
Wow, yeah, you're cooked. It's over for you. You've got no future in the dung, dude.
Do we not we don't have dung beetles in North America, do we?
No.
If I had brought like a jar of six back,
definitely illegal. 100% illegal.
100%, dude. But they don't check anything at customs anymore. I swear.
Well, if they smell dung, then.
Well, they would have had to find the dung. I would not have brought the dung. I'd have just brought the beetle. I could have brought six and created a whole population.
They smell like shit for sure. They're rolling in dung. They definitely stink. Separate smell. Enough dung beetle. We've two episodes in a row.
Enough said. Should we do enough said?
I got one. It's about baseball. If anyone's still listening, I've got baseball. Rumor that the Yankees are working on a trade to get Edward Cabrera. Thoughts on that? That the rumored price, Hubs from Barstool says he was hearing Ben Hess and then an outfield prospect. I believe Hubs usually has good sources with the Yankees, so believe him if you wish. What do we think?
Last year.
Yeah. That's why I say that. But what do we think if the Yankees get Edward Cabrera, one of Gordo's guys, how would we feel?
It's true.
For a good price, by the way.
If they get 3 years of Edward Cabrera for less than the Red Sox paid for 2 years of Johan Oviedo, I'd be pretty annoyed about that, even though I don't think the Yankees need starting pitching. So if they want to push resources into that, I'm like okay with it. But if it's that price, ugh.
Gordo, you enraged me with your Oviedo take today. I was so pissed. Like the disrespect.
It's not an insult to Oviedo. Edward just had a really good. What did I say? I said
Gordo Edward's, said.
Yeah, read my text.
Here, I'm going to pull this back up. Okay, Gordo says Oviedo's 95th percentile outcome would be Edwards' 2025 season. All right, give me Edwards' 2025 stats. So disrespectful.
I know he had like a 3.38 ERA.
I think he's a 3.38, yeah.
Okay, that would be
Edward
good.
Last year, he had a 3.53 ERA in 26 starts. 137 and two-thirds innings.
What's his FIP?
FIP was
3.83. Okay.
Like if Oviedo does that, that is awesome.
Well, like that means you've gotten.
Like we talked about it. I think we talked about what do we think this guy's ceiling is, and I think we all kind of settled in on like a number three-ish guy, maybe number two if you're lucky. That's what Edward was last year.
He was a three, but you said, I said scorching take. I'd take Oviedo over Edward, which is a bit of a hot take.
Oh, that's a hot very take. Hot.
But I think, I think it's also a hot take to say Oviedo's 95th percentile outcome is a number three. I think that if you get that high, like to the peak ceiling, like he could be a number two guy, but the average of his ceiling is like a three. But like I'm talking about that far, far, far end of the spectrum. Best case scenario. I don't know. I like Oviedo a lot. Maybe I'm overrating him, but I'm going to be an Oviedo guy all year long. It's going to be sickening.
Listen, it's not an insult to Oviedo by any like Edward had that good of a year last year. Like if Oviedo put up those numbers, that like what
I'd be very happy with
year,
that.
Yeah, I'd be yes. I'd be like I'm trying to think of like the time the Red Sox got a guy and he had the 95th percentile of his outcomes or better. Like Garrett that was Crochet. Probably what Crochet
it's got to be Porcello.
Yeah.
Porcello too.
Porcello for a year.
Porcello might have been the 100th percentile for that year. That was
true.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, same with Crochet. Could you have possibly expected that season from Crochet? I would say that is the absolute best case scenario is what he gave you. He was a top three pitcher in Major League Baseball. That's fucking insane. And Chapman too. That's the 100th percentile outcome with Chapman. He had the best season of his entire career.
Yeah, so like it's like a tick below those outcomes for Oviedo. It's like what is like Oviedo's best case scenario, and then take it down one notch.
Okay, I guess it's less egregious when we talk it out. When we talk it out,
talk it out. Gotta talk it out.
Yeah, it sounds. I'm just a big Johan Oviedo defender. I can't say Johan defender.
It doesn't have anything to do with Oviedo. Can the Marlins please just get a real price if you're going to trade the guy to the Yankees? That's it.
But that would go against their track record because then it gets shit for Giancarlo Stanton.
Joe?
This is also vindication for me because I had my second who says no proposal midseason with Edward Cabrera. And the trade I made is much more valuable.
Yeah, you definitely had more going to the Marlins. You had Clark and definitely at least one more really good player in there.
Password.
Wow, you had the guys the Red Sox were down to trade.
Password, Yoelin, and Clark.
I don't know if that's as much as Hess and the outfield. It's pretty similar.
Oh, I think it's more.
It's more reasonable.
I mean,
I think it's definitely more.
Clark's a minor league reliever. Password, we think, is like a platoon.
Not a minor league reliever.
Clark?
That's he's not a reliever. He's a starting pitcher. Maybe he'll be a reliever.
Yeah, he's thrown 38 innings in his career. A lot of people think he's going to be a reliever. There's a lot of concerns that he will become a reliever.
He has reliever risk.
Password might not even be MLB quality. And who was the last player, Joe?
Cespedes.
Cespedes, I don't think will ever play in the big leagues. I'm not very
Whoa. Happy.
He's has no position. He's 5'8" and his bat is good but not great. I just don't know.
But you're telling me, Sammy, you're telling me the Marlins would accept the Yankees offer, which is less than what my Who Says No would give?
Maybe.
Apparently there's more in this, by the way. Like I think Craig Mish, sense. I think, said there was gonna be it was like a package or something. So maybe there's more to come. So I think it was Craig Mish who does really good work on the Marlins. And if it wasn't him, then credit to him for not having it. But I think his words were high upside guys.
Joe, also
by like low minors dudes.
Your Who Says No had an extra half season of control and more leverage from the Marlins end than right
That's
now.
That's true.
Because right now the Marlins can be like, we think we're going to contend. We're not going to trade Big Edward. Sorry, Yankees. It's a tough comparison.
Ask for more, please.
Yeah.
Just please
trade Volpe. Trade Volpe to the Marlins. I bet if the Yankees traded Volpe, he'd be sick.
I agree. He'd be so good if they traded him.
Miami, nice and quiet, chill ballpark.
If they traded him to the Red Sox,
nah.
Dude, the Red Sox getting former Yankees. Our track record is unbelievable. Those guys crush it.
Not Volpe,
dude. If the Red Sox got Volpe, the hatred from Yankee fans to him, dude, it would fuel him to an MVP season or two.
Yeah, he's really good when there's strong emotions towards him. He's notorious for that.
Listen, guys change. Look at Sonny Gray.
And with a few tweaks, he could be a number two starter.
There we go.
So there you go. There you have it. Let it be said.
The right age of 36.
He is, I was going to say, he is nice and raw at 36 years old.
Big ball of clay.
Very Sonny malleable. Gray. Yeah.
Sonny,
no, I'm not going to say it.
Sonny Gray, the ball of clay.
I thought you were going back to the dung beetle, but we're not going to call Sonny Gray a big pile of dung.
No.
He could be the dung beetle. Maybe that's his nickname. Dung beetle.
No, wait. The beetle forms the dung. So really, that's what all these front offices are. They mold the dung.
Craig Walker Buehler, the dung beetle.
The
dung
and
beetle.
The Red Sox are the dung. That's it.
Buehler is the dung. Breslow is the beetle.
Yeah, no, I think that Craig Breslow is the dung beetle here, and the Red Sox are his pile of dung.
All right. Pat, you got enough said?
Yeah, I do. Since we have been recording, it is Sunday night. The NFL wildcard weekend schedule came out. There was quite literally one game, one time slot on one day I did not want the Patriots to have. And they fucking got it. Sunday night football. So it's 8 o'clock on Sunday. I'm going to the game. I have to be in at work at 7:30 on Monday morning.
I'll take your tickets. I'll take your tickets for you if you don't want them.
I'm going. Hey, I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to be a big boy. I'm going to be a big boy, and I'll suck it up. But like, what the fuck, man? I get
just
like Herbert May. Herbert May is like a big whatever. I get it. That being said, there's no other games that should be on primetime. And this is coming from, like work on Monday aside, just from a pure audience draw, there's like three better games that should be on Saturday or Sunday night. And for somehow the Patriots got Sunday night. So fuck my life.
Pat, I think I know why they got Sunday night. It's because they didn't want to intrude on Fenway Fest. So that killed Saturday.
Frozen, yeah. Fenway, baby.
I bet, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Pat, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get any sympathy from me. I'm so jealous you get to go to that damn game.
I know. It's very much first world problems.
Just yeah. Don't go too hard.
No, I won't.
Go hard. It's go hard. Go hard.
Like, it's the matter of like 8 o'clock game, home by like 12:30, 1 o'clock, up at 6. Again, I'm going to suck it up because I am lucky enough to be able to go to the game. That being said, any other day, any other time would have been awesome.
Shout out to Pat. No sleep for Pat.
If Mike Vrabel is a dung beetle, then the Patriots are his ball of dung.
Yeah. Exactly. And if we are dung beetles, then this podcast is our ball of dung.
Let's roll it up the hill, boys, like Sisyphus would.
Just got to keep growing it. Roll it in more dung like a snowball. All right, here's my enough said. It is a trivia question. Which came first, the color orange or the fruit orange?
In what? Which came first?
In
like
being
to the
named.
English to the in English being language?
Like a chicken or the egg thing, or is
the
this
color.
Like you know the answer?
I know the answer.
Okay,
I'm
going to say
the
fruit.
The color. I'm going to say the color.
Pat, you said?
Fruit.
Okay. The fruit came first, and the color is named after the fruit. So,
damn,
Pat
there we go.
Wins.
Learn something
I
new.
I was surprised about that. I would have thought it would have been what Sammy said.
I hate that word.
That's my enough said.
Orange. I have to think about it, because if I talk too fast, I say orange, and then I sound like trash. Fucking orange. Instead
Isn't
of orange.
Orange like a jersey? Isn't that like the jersey way to say it? Orange?
No. That's how my grandma says it. Orange juice.
Is it like a Jewish grandma way of saying it?
Might be. I don't think so, though. I'll have to ask. I'll figure it out. I'll roll my ball of dung over to my grandmother's and ask her.
Yeah. Push it up the street.
Oh, yeah. I will simply push my dung to my grandmother's house.
This is the most poopy talk we've ever had.
This is a whole lot of dung discussion.
This is,
oh, yeah.
Yep, there's our title, Dung Discussion.
Dung Discussion.
Post it. WEI will be thrilled. They'll love that.
All right, that is going to do it for episode 304, titled Dung Discussions of Play Tessie. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at PlayTessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We'll be back in a couple of days with another one. Hopefully we get some news coming up. Free agency and trade talks starting back up after the holidays. New week beginning. We'll see. But till then, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for PlayTessie, episode 304. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.